Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand hits a deep to left field.
Get up, baby.
That's way back.
Get up.
Shoot, score! And it's a bunter! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Thursday, November 8th, 2018 edition of the program. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. We will talk some baseball. We'll talk some hockey. We'll talk a little football. And more coming up over the next 2 hours. Major League Baseball general manager meetings wrap up in Carlsbad, California. The Cardinals head back to St. Louis, a month away from the winter meetings in Las Vegas. And will the free agent market begin to churn? Derek Gould will join us from California coming up in about 10-15 minutes, 6:30. Derek gives us his take on what happened over the last few days, where the Cardinals stand as far as the Bryce Harper sweepstakes, how the Cardinals will position themselves outside of Bryce Harper, and also a scoop on Rick Ankiel. So that comes your way at 6:30. 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little football with our guy, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Tom Ackerman will visit with Ozzie Smith, and then we'll hear a snippet of a great conversation Dan McLaughlin had with Jim Cavanaugh regarding the efforts to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis. So that's what we've got coming up. Derek Gould from the general manager's meetings at 6:30. Chris Landry on football at 7:15. Ozzie Smith with Tom Ackerman at 7:30. And then Dan McLaughlin with Jim Cavanaugh. As always, if you want to get involved in the program, we invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us, tweet us at KMOX Sports. That is where you will get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program. Halloween coming up in a couple of weeks. Give me your Mount Rushmore of Halloween candy. Mount Rushmore of Halloween candy. This is Dave's Mount Rushmore, his top four Halloween candy.
First of all, I'm diabetic, so I can't eat candy.
Well, if you're handing it out to the neighborhood kids.
I'll still tell you what my favorite candy is. Okay, Snickers, Mars bar, I don't know, man, M&M's are good. What other candy do I like?
Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I love them.
Ooh. Do you want to replace Mars bars with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, or are you going to keep Mars bars as a controversial number two on the Mount Rushmore?
I'll keep Mars bars.
You'll keep Mars bars. So Mars bars, they are the Thomas Jefferson, the two-hole. If you were going to dress up for Halloween, Dave, what would you dress up as? Like a sexy bumblebee?
No, I'd dress up as a grave digger. I don't know, man. M&M's are good.
I mean, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with that.
What other candy do I like?
Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers.
I like a good Three Musketeers. So Ben Boyd's the executive producer of the program. Mike Anderson's my guy.
But what I'm saying is, I'm gonna say, this is what I'm saying. He produces.
Here in the KMOX studios, it is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. God bless you, Dave. 436-7900. Blues practicing today. Mike Anderson, we welcome Mike to the program for the first time tonight. I guess the news out of Blues practice today is that, it's threefold. Robert Thomas is in the lineup tomorrow, so he's going to be here. His nine-game trial period is up. You know, I find it kind of funny that we do this backwards in, like, hockey and baseball. And one of the things that Mo talked about on Sunday with Mike Kelly and said they were going to breach at the general manager meetings was, like, the fact that in the most pivotal part of the season in baseball, you expand the rosters. But it's kind of funny, Mike, that in baseball, if you want to keep a guy under control and have an extra control year, you wait until later in the season to bring him up. Whereas in hockey, you get the nine games at the beginning of the season to then make a decision, and it appears Robert Thomas will remain with the Blues. Your take on Robert Thomas staying up with the club?
Well, I think he's an extremely skilled player. You can see him progressing game by game, getting a little more comfortable out
there. He's playing, right? Like, he's got to play if he's going to be here, right?
Right. And eventually, obviously, he'll play more minutes as he gets into it. But he's not like it's not like he's only playing, you know, three shifts a game. He's getting into double digit minutes, and he's...
Dude, that fourth line, when it was Fabry, Sundqvist, and Thomas, they were up like 10, 11, 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah, he's playing very effectively, and they're playing really fast, and I think it's catching a lot of teams off guard. So, and he's only going to get better with time. So you see the speed he brings. Every now and then, you'll maybe see, like, I don't know, in the defensive zone, maybe accidentally throwing a puck up the middle and it getting picked off or something. But that'll come
something
with time.
You can get away
he's
with
just
in like
a young
juniors,
kid
yeah.
right now, and yeah, hopefully he progresses through that. But he's looked really good skill wise.
The other news we get today is that Pat Maroon will be out of the lineup tomorrow. Mike Yeo called it a reset day. I can't even, and I know we like to think of athletes as robots and machines sometimes who just go and play and try to win. And this is, you know, not me speculating. I'm just saying in his shoes, I can't imagine a lot of the things that he might be going through in terms of coming back here, coming home, signing a one-year deal with some uncertainty, not getting off to the greatest start, although he's still putting up points. He's been effective on the power play. But, you know, maybe a good thing to get that reset to step back for a game, to maybe watch up in the press box with Steve Ott and some of the coaching staff and kind of clear your head, not worry about it, and then get back to it on Sunday afternoon against Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't look at it as any sort of punishment. I think he's, second on the team in assists right now. It's not like he's not
a lot of guys go through
helping
this,
you. And
that's the thing. Like for as much as we talk, like, he's still putting up points.
Yeah, no, I think you might see O'Reilly or Tarasenko cashing in on the power play, but I think what Pat Maroon's done on that power play on the side of the net and in the front of the net has been pivotal to that power play success.
Something they haven't had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really back to like Brouwer and Backes.
Yeah, not only when he gets in front, but he's really good at setting up on the side of the net and being an outlet if that winger on the sideboard, if he doesn't want to take the shot, he's got Pat Maroon right there who can one-time a pass to the slot or, you know, do that smash play to the far post that he does so well, which has led to a ton of chances. So I think what he's brought to the power play is really understated so far this year. I don't look at this as a punishment, but sometimes getting up top and seeing, watching the game.
Just not having to worry about it. Like, you know,
yeah.
I know that
breathe a little bit.
I know you want to be in the lineup, you know, every single night, but the fact that you know today and that Mike Yeo put it out there today, relax, you know, you're not going to play. I don't want to say no pressure because you're a professional athlete and he'll get his work in and be on the ice a little bit longer tomorrow, I'm sure. Get some extra practice reps in with the extras. But just, you know, reset. And then they're going to need him. This next stretch of games over the next couple of weeks is insane. So, you know, just kind of take a breath, watch from up top, and then get back in there on Sunday. I feel the same way, too. Like, if Chad Johnson starts tomorrow, which I feel he earned, I feel Jake Allen is still unquestionably your guy, but Chad Johnson starts tomorrow, good. You know, you're going to need a good backup goaltender to play throughout the course of the season. Let Jake you know, take a couple days, and then he always plays well against Minnesota. Get him, well, usually plays well against Minnesota. Get him back in there on Sunday afternoon, you know, with the quick turnaround with the day game on Sunday. So, you know, I, like you said, not a punishment. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it, and in looking at some of the numbers over the last couple of days, I wonder if, like, the fact that they're scoring so much, you know, they're in what, top five in the NHL in goals scored and goals allowed. This might be a weird question. Do you feel better about that versus if they were where they've been the last couple of years when they're losing games like 2-1 and 2-0 and 1-0, and you were at the top in terms of maybe 5 or 10 best, fewest goals allowed per game, but you were at the bottom in goals per game? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you have more faith in this team shoring up defensively while they're scoring?
At this point in the year, I would gladly take where we are now, because I think as the year progresses, I think it's easier to generate more of a structure on your defense and lock down more defensively. I think it's really encouraging, specifically after the couple of months we went through towards the end of last season, when it seemed like we had three forwards that could score and everyone else.
What about the power play?
Yeah, it was atrocious. So I'm highly encouraged by the ability to score, and I look for the defense to improve. I think it will. I mean, it has to, but I would think it will.
I think you're right, especially with Gunnarsson coming back. And, like, the other thing is, you're scoring the way that you're scoring without the defensemen chipping in like they did at the beginning of last year. Freaking Carl Gunnarsson, like, had 2 goals through the first, like, 4 games last year. And you're doing it, really, without Jaden Schwartz scoring.
Right.
So, like, and with Robbie Fabry just coming back, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to be too glass half full, too optimistic, too rights holdery, but, you know, you've got 13 points now. You've played 2 fewer games than everyone in the division outside of Minnesota and Winnipeg.
I believe if you win your 2 games in hand, you're tied for the final wild card spot.
Yeah, then you're in third place.
You're right back there again. It's too early for people to be worried about that. But
if you win tomorrow and win
there,
if you win tomorrow and win Sunday, you're tied with Winnipeg and Dallas.
Right.
And you're a point behind Minnesota.
Right.
So,
and I think if you were to ask people this far into the season if would you be happy being tied with Winnipeg? I think hands down you'd say yes.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration because there's been some sloppy parts, but there's also been plenty of encouraging moments too. So, and we knew it might take a while for all these new guys
to
gel. And, you know, maybe it's taken longer than some thought, but you knew that was going to be the case. So,
played 13 games.
Absolutely.
Less than 1/6 of the season.
So early.
All right, that's Mike Anderson. We're going to talk with Derek Gould next. We will go to California to talk with the Cardinals beat reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about the general manager's meetings. We can also take your phone calls at 436-7900. Chris Raby with you. Today, Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford. Sports Open Line, Derek Gould coming up next, talking all things Cardinals on KMOX.
I don't know, man. M&Ms are good.
Hey, bada, 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 sawee.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
They got good hitters.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We head to California on the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line and join Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Read him in the paper, of course, at stltoday.com and on Twitter at dgould. Derek, how are the general manager's meetings? How's Carlsbad, California? Or at least the hotel?
Oh, yeah, the resort that the GMs and executives stay at. It's fine. It's less than a 10-minute drive from the hotel the media's at, so it's perfect. It's very palatial, and I'm sure sun swept with all the time they get there. And most of the time is spent indoors.
Yep.
You know, it's not all that exciting as far as getting any sense of the local flavor or even any sense of the sunshine sometimes. But you know, I think that what we can say about these general manager meetings is just definitively that they're over, and that there was a lot of talk, not too much action, but maybe enough talk that you could kind of see where things go from here. Certainly the Cardinals leave with a distinct sense of many avenues that they could take this winter. What avenue is best is still yet to present itself, but they have a lot of different places they could go, and I think that's really distinctly clear after these GM meetings.
Yeah, I'm curious for like the average fan how you would describe these meetings and how they set up the winter, because the winter meetings are in many ways a made-for-TV event. It's a convention. Mm-hmm. It's an expo, a job fair. There are awards given out. There are Hall of Fame announcements made. How would you characterize what happens now that will, in a month, lead to the winter meetings?
Yeah, I think in some ways that's still being defined, Chris. But, you know, these are certainly the first meetings that that agents and general managers have. These are some of the first face-to-face meetings that teams have with each other. I think that's what makes the GM meeting stand out. It's a lot more personal contact, face-to-face contact. Accidental or improvisational contact in the sense that they, you know, cross each other's in the hallways and away goes a conversation and a match is made. I think, you know, the GM meetings allow for that in a way that the winter meetings, like you said, don't. Those are increasingly cloistered. Teams don't leave too much. The GM meetings are far different. And so I think, you know, you don't know, not even the teams do, let's be candid, certainly the agents don't either. You don't know what deals are coming, but you do know when those deals are done that there's a good chance that they were, you know, they were kind of first sown, or the seeds of those deals are first sown here at the GM meetings.
You said that the Cardinals, of course, leave with many avenues and different ways to add to this club or to alter the landscape of this club and potentially the organization, Derek. I know John Mozeliak has made comments to you in the Post-Dispatch to that extent. He said on KMOX on Sunday that they don't want to leave there feeling like they didn't explore an opportunity. That's paraphrasing. But do you feel like the last 3 years has led to more of a willingness to kind of say everything's on the table? Perhaps they're not, you know, thinking there is a linear way to improve this team. Maybe they are getting more, I don't know if creative is the right word, but maybe more open-minded to add to this team in a variety of ways, perhaps?
Yeah, I think the roster forces that upon them. In other years, they've gone in with a distinct and specific need. I got to stop using the word distinct. They've gone in with a
glaring, yeah.
Need. Glaring need, you know, a shortstop you could hit, a middle order hitter you could hit, a starter to provide innings, a reliever here, a reliever there. I mean, you look at their roster, and this is something that they told anybody who would listen really this week, whether it was other teams, agents, or the media. If you look at their roster, I mean, they could name their starter at every position. They could name the guy who would fill every role on the team. So what they're looking at is more upgrades. It's not like a few years ago where they're like, well, who's our starting shortstop? No clue, shrug, better find one. You know, now they know that they have Paul DeYoung. You know, if you ask them who their starting third baseman is, they have an answer for that. Now they can ask the question, is there a better one out there? Is there a better, kind of set of players out there? Is there a series of moves that they can, make this roster that they have that they could use in a game tomorrow, but make it better? And so it does allow for them to explore a lot of different directions. And I think you're getting a sense of that. You know, anybody who has an appetite for all of the coverage is getting a sense of that. And I think you certainly get a sense of that from the comments. I mean, John Mozeliak told me that he goes, there's a lot of noise. It's a very noisy time for the Cardinals. And he said you want to cut through that.
STLtoday.com is where you can read Derek's coverage in the Post-Dispatch as well. A lot of that noise will come from Scott Boras. And as he held court and talked about his client, Derek, I'm wondering, do you think that Bryce Harper will be the, fulcrum or the domino that then ignites the rest of the market? Or do you think the market will operate independently regardless of when and where Bryce Harper decides to land?
independent. It has to. Otherwise, we're in for a long, long, cold winter of waiting.
And we've seen that, though, in recent years, haven't we?
Well, not with Boris. I mean, okay. Not with Boris as the first domino. I mean, Boris always waits to
yeah.
Boris is notorious for slow playing and for, excuse me, and for kind of lengthening things out until he gets the deal he wants. Look at Eric Hosmer. I mean, look how late some of his clients signed last year. In the Cardinals' experience, you know, Matt Holliday, the last $100 million deal they did, he signed in January. Kyle Loesch signed in middle of spring training.
He's got Greg Holland, right?
Yeah, Greg Holland on opening day. So, you know, Boris has an exceeding amount of patience to work with teams. And if you wait for his biggest fish to land, you're going to wait a long time. Other teams are going to work independent. Also, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I guess I could see in some ways teams would go, look, we want to set our budgets. Look, we want to set our roster. But Cardinals aren't like that. The Cardinals are in a position where if they can make a play for Bryce Harper, they obviously have to make other moves as a result of that. But they also know the, you know, the kind of singular talent or chance they have, right? You know, and maybe that's Nolan Arenado next year as a free agent. But who knows? You can't bank on that. But you do know that this guy is available now. But you have to make other moves around it. And he is such a player that he's just gonna, you're just gonna make space for him. You know, and if you have him, fantastic. If you don't. But you have to risk, you know, not getting anything. And that's sort of what the Brewers did last year to great effect. Is they were willing to wait on the one player that they wanted. They made other moves, or I guess the two players that they wanted. But they made other moves. They discussed other options. They considered other things, but they always kept in the back of their mind that, hey, look, you know, these are the deals we think they're beneficial. And then they got to a point where those deals happened, and look at how good that made them.
Yeah, you have reported extensively, obviously, and folks can read all of your coverage from California and everything going on in the offseason at stltoday.com and in the Post-Dispatch on the Cardinals' ability to extend themselves to the point of a player like Harper, and the fact that I think you said they're described as being a factor in the conversations. We've heard the term from the front office, puke point, and I wonder if a player of his age, his skill set and the unique factors, is this a situation, in your opinion, where they would be willing to extend past that puke point or might have to extend past that puke point if they want to remain a factor?
They will have to. And my understanding is that they want to see if that's enough. They'll have to get past it. I mean, look, I mean, some of these numbers being thrown around would make any
ridiculous.
But they want to get to that point in the conversation. I think that's what the Cardinals seek is,
because that means you're in it, right?
Yeah, they don't want to be left out on a chance to get a superstar. You know, I mean, look, I've heard it numerous times, and they've told other people this too. You know, they've told other teams. Well, they told agents privately. They told other people they trust privately. You know, they describe it as a case where, look, they know what this roster is missing. They know what this market offers. Does that mean that they're going to, you know, make it the sole focal point of their entire existence? No, that wouldn't be doing their job. They're going to explore other things. And that could mean trades. And that could mean, ultimately, that they make a deal. And they go, look, it just was taking too long, and it's going to cost too much. And they bow out of the Harper discussion. But, you know, they have for a long time, actually for really almost now a decade, they have really wanted access to a player who was going to make premium money while being in his peak years. That has long been a gripe of the ownership, is the sense that you pay for a guy for production that had already happened. You pay for a guy in his 30s when you really wish you could have the guy for years 27 through 33. Well, that's what they have here. And we know how eager they were, how willing they were to go and sign Hayward. Well, Harper is a far different player than Hayward. Hayward's going to win Gold Gloves. Harper's going to win an MVP. This is not a player who's available very often in the market. And the Cardinals have an opening that they would be remiss, and they know this, and they say this. They don't really advertise it, but they do say this, that, you know, that they would be remiss not to at least explore it.
Derek, how have you seen the last couple of years bolster the Cardinals' position in terms of their farm system and their ability to explore and aggressively perhaps explore the trade market given what they have in the organization right now?
There isn't a team that is better positioned financially or with prospects than the Cardinals this winter. I'm not sure you'd get much debate on that from other teams, even if you know where to stand up in front of the 30 teams, or maybe have a blind ballot vote as to what team is best positioned to make a trade and what team is best positioned to spend money. You might end up getting the Cardinals in both cases from their peers. And the Cardinals have what other teams want, pitching. They have the ability to develop that pitching, which gives them depth, and that gives them, you know, the ability to backfill even when they do trade. I mean, look at it. They can reasonably say they have 10 pitchers who could start for them in 2019. If they trade one of them, they could reasonably say they have 9 pitchers who start. You know, I mean, it's somewhat absurd when you look at the Cubs. What can the Cubs say about the number of starters that they have? And what can the Brewers say, the division winners? What can they say? You know, can they fill out a rotation today? You know, some of these teams are lucky to have 3. The Cardinals can reasonably say that they have 10 people, you know, pitchers who could contribute. Now, contribute on a contender, that's a different question. But contribute, be in the rotation. They can trade and still have excess, and that's remarkable. And that's also how they may try to handle this bullpen thing as well. So they're well positioned. They don't have the thump. They don't have the position players. They have some young guys lower that might attract it, but they have what people want in pitching.
Yeah, and you've pointed out in your reporting this
week. And they have Jose Martinez and Carson Kelly, too.
Yeah.
So I guess there is some appeal there. And they have Jed Jerko.
And you've pointed out this week as well, Derek, that while we've focused a lot on the left side of the bullpen, that doesn't necessarily preclude them from exploring options and potentially high-impact options from the right side. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah. Yeah, they'll look at that as well. You know what? Who that is, I mean, I think you're looking more at along the lines of like a Bud Norris addition. Not Bud Norris,
but that kind
of addition, you know, some kind of guy on a short-term
versus
contract.
Versus like a Kimbrell or someone.
Versus like a, Craig Kimbrell, which would be so out of character.
Yeah.
And wacky as to not make sense. It would run counter to every other move that the Cardinals have tried to make to address their bullpen.
Derek, I want to wrap up with some news that you broke this morning that Rick Ankiel is recovering from, the Manus surgery? Is that what we call it now?
But primary repair.
Right, that Seth Manus went under, so not the Tommy John, but still done by George Paletta. And you had the scoop that the Cardinals intend, if he's ready mid-season, to have a minor league contract offer available?
Yeah, well, they're going to help him. I mean, they want to be a part of it. You know, they want to be a part of his comeback. They've had some really candid conversations with him. He's rehabbing there in Jupiter. You know, both sides are of a mind that they have an agreement in place and that it's best for him to make this comeback attempt with a team that he knows well, and the Cardinals want to give him that chance. So, he always kind of had the sense that they wanted to be part of, you know, his return. I mean, a couple of years ago, they approached him about pitching again. You know, they talked to him about it, and he was resistant to the idea and held fast to the retirement. But once this bubbled up again, the Cardinals still, you know, they have a fondness for Rick. As John Mozeliak said, he's part of the Cardinals family. He lives nearby. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, if they're going to be part of his reinvention as an outfielder, which they were a huge part of that, you know, then they also want to be there if he returns to the mound.
Derek, great reporting, man. Again, folks can read everything at stltoday.com. I urge people to check out the piece you did on the surgery and the Manus surgery and recovery. It's fascinating kind of how this continues to evolve and the different options around baseball. I hope you have a safe and speedy trip back to St. Louis, and we'll regroup and get ready to head to Vegas in a month.
Yeah, I can already tell you the flight's been delayed again. So
all right.
So fingers crossed that it's not canceled this time like it was earlier.
All right, yeah, go find a microbrew and a burger. You deserve it.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Could you imagine if Rick Ankiel signs a minor league deal with the with the Cardinals and then works his way back to the majors? That would be incredible. I know he already wrote a book, and there's already potentially a movie coming. He's talked about that, but my goodness. That's just a interesting footnote from the general manager's meetings, the fact that he's down in Jupiter working out at the Cardinals complex, and who knows what happens next. But could you imagine if he works his way back and potentially gets back to the big leagues? Like, it already was a movie. Do you make a movie about the movie? We'll take a break, come back, and continue again. 436-7900. A little football with Chris Landry in our next hour. Ozzie Smith. Also, Dan McLaughlin with Jim Cavanaugh. Some really interesting stuff about the efforts to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis. It's all coming up. Today's Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line.
You are the best baseball town in America, and there is no doubt about it.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I think it's a great city. It's an incredible environment to play in. Why is it great to play here? You're in the center of the country, so wherever you're from, you can get to it relatively quickly. I think one of the great selling points that players always tell me is, like, you just don't deal with traffic. It's just you get to the ballpark and you get home. And when you think about the different places to live now, you can live downtown and literally walk to work. You can live in Central West End and you're within, you know, 7 minutes of the ballpark. You can live in Clayton and have a little bit more of a high-rise feel, or at least a lot of dynamic restaurants to go to. Or you could choose, like some of our players do, and live more out in the suburbs. But, you know, we have a lot to offer. It's something that I think from a baseball standpoint, too, we continue to upgrade our internal infrastructure. We want this to be an attractive place that players feel like when they're coming to work, it's a great place to work. And so, you know, that's why you've seen us over the last few years really ramp up our medical staff, our performance staff. And all of these types of investments are, of course, trying to make the athlete play at a higher level or more elite level. But having said that, we also want it to be that when players are looking at the variety of places that they may choose to play, that they understand that we are competitive and offer more, if you will, on the menu than maybe other teams do. And that's our goal. And so, you know, I do feel like this is still a very attractive place to come play. You know, clearly we have great advocates who have spent time here, whether it's, you know, the generation of Jim Edmonds and Mark McGuire to Matt Holliday to Lance Berkman. But they'll tell people this is a wonderful place to go to work every day. And as you can imagine, if you're a player and, you know, majority of the games is 30,000+, that's pretty fun. Whereas there's a lot of places that just can't say that.
Can't you move my way? I'm getting hazy. Oh, mama, when you give your love, and when you give your love, you drive me crazy.
All right, that was John Mozeliak. We are wrapping up the 6 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line. Phone number 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We'll talk football with Chris Landry coming up. We'll hear from Ozzie Smith with Tom Ackerman and Dan McLaughlin with Jim Cavanaugh, as the efforts continue to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis. Thank you to Derek Gould. Wow, the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. Of course, Scott Boras called it the Harper's Bazaar. Of course he did. My, oh, God.
stands on like a little platform when he addresses the media. It's kind of funny. He's a little tiny guy. Got big pockets, though. No offense, Mike Anderson. Sports Open Line back in a minute.
See, Mama, every time that you want here, it's when you're gone. I feel you never want to come back home.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.